If you turn your Bible to, we got two sets of scripture this morning, spiritually discerned, I'm calling it. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to start verse 6 through verse 8. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now you keep that in mind, you turn to Matthew chapter 6 in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6. We find Jesus, you should know Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to start in verse 24 and finish the chapter to verse 34. And the Lord said, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take thou and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I'd ask you this morning, I'd send a text out to some of you, are you between Genesis 3 and Matthew 6? And that is, are you still giving thought? I preached on this some years back. Are you still giving thought? Are you still serving two masters? And that's been the curse of man for 4,000 years, ever since his eyes were opened and he saw that he was naked. And that from that time forward, men started serving, you might say, mammon. Prior to that, Adam had one master, and it was God. And then when man fell, it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the woman saw that thing, and they started giving thought. The idea of thought. That's what the devil put in her mind. He said, if you considered that tree, well, what happened? As Chuck Berry said, I was still thinking. He started thinking. And boy, you can do that. I mean, listen, I've been in sales and marketing 40 years, and you get people thinking. And all you got to do is plant a seed, and you get people thinking. And you get people, you can do it with these children. Real simple. It's a very simple, it's not an arduous process. It's very, very simple. But prior to that, in the garden, when God created Adam, Adam never had to give thought. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever give thought about that? Did you ever Adam didn't have to give thought. What did he have to think about? Everything was provided for him. But when his eyes were open, he gave thought. I'm naked. We need clothes. We're naked. We need clothes. I need clothes. You see the contrast between that and then Christ, and 4,000 years later, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought what you shall put on. Man, the contrast of that thing just came to me like black and white. Adam, he had to go to work to eat. Before he tended a garden, he didn't even plant. You see? God planted that thing for him. But when he fell, that garden wasn't available anymore. Kind of like when you grow up and you're on your own, you see? And Adam, from that day forward, had to eat by the sweat of his brow. And you and I have had to do the same thing. But you see, then came Christ, the Son of God. And we've got a totally different scenario in Matthew 6. Give no thought. But who can say that the whole of our lives isn't giving thought? I mean, one thing we always try to be, or I try to be with you, for is I try to be honest. I don't try to be honest. I'm either honest or I'm not. But we're always giving thought. And sadly, most often to mammon. Working to feed and clothe our families and ourselves day in and day out. For years, that's all men talk about, is the day that they can retire. That so-called think that they can stop this process day in and day out. Are we not to do such? Clothe our family and provide? Yes, we are. Of course we are. But it's the thought of such that we're to eschew. Do you see? Isn't that an interesting concept? We've been talking about this man that some of us have listened to and how intelligent he is, but he's not as intelligent as the fellow that wrote this book. You see? It's the thought that we're to eschew. Adam fed not only himself, but Eve. But prior to the fall, he never had to give thought to that. He never did. He had right to the tree of life. And nor are we in Christ. Now that's a doctrine. It's a commandment. Take no thought. How do I know that? Well, it's right here. We just read it. We're told to give no thought. Not even for tomorrow. But yet we all know pretty much what we're going to do tomorrow. And a lot of us, we'll start thinking, well, I've got to do this tomorrow. And now here it is Sunday, a day of rest, and we're already thinking, we're already tired because we're giving thought for tomorrow. A lot of folks, probably I'm guilty, I don't sleep well because I'm already tomorrow. But God tells me to give no thought for tomorrow. And if you'll be honest, who do you know such? I had one man that came to mind. Some of you met him. He's gone on to be with the Lord. His name was Doyle Brimer. I'm pretty sure Doyle Brimer, I never saw that man give thought to anything. I mean, I just didn't. And I had a hard time. Everybody had a hard time understanding him. But if there's one chapter to fit Doyle Brimer, it's right here in Matthew 6. He gave no thought. But besides him, I can't think of a single Christian that's not really serving mammon. Not one. And yet here it is right before us. You cannot serve God and mammon. All the things they preach in the churches, if they still do, I don't know. I haven't been to a what you might call a mainline church in so long. But they preach in church about sin. And here's the whole church stuck right here in Genesis 3. And the preacher's in the pulpit clamoring for mammon, for money. Every church I've ever gone to, it's all about, give me money and give me more money. See? Well, he's sure giving thought. They're sure giving a lot of thought. Have you ever heard of them? And plenty of it. Him, the deacons, and they have planning committees. God knows what else and who else. Giving thought. And it's always about, just like we do in our own lives, giving thought, serving mammon. You know, he put in parentheses in our text, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. Yeah, boy, they do. Don't we, Gentiles? Spend our whole lives more, more, more. Give me, give me, give me. Never full. The proverb, never full. You see? I've done this before. I told you I've preached this before. That if you take a, if we had a blackboard, the old days, I guess they still have blackboards or a whiteboard or whatever kind of board, or even a tablet, and you just mark the waking hours of your week, the waking hours, and see the hours, if there be one devoted to seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The whole week. 1 hour seeking God, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And then the hour spent seeking mammon. There's no contest. I mean, it's no contest. Not even those who religiously claim to seek God all the day long. It's no contest. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to be monks in a monastery. Christ certainly wasn't a monk in a monastery. Brother Royce and I, our old deacon, we used to talk about that quite a bit. And I think he had some monk in him, you know. But the apostles, they certainly weren't such. They were all working men. They were fishermen, doctors, tax collectors, tent makers. Christ himself was a carpenter, you see. So we're without excuse. We have no excuse. And they, some of them, had families to care for. But there's a great principle here. One that we so often miss. That which always comes first. No, it's not family. It's not career or any other endeavor. It's God. It's Christ. It's the kingdom. It's righteousness. It's holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's our dependence. Did not God, even after the fall, Adam went about and chased mammon. They made garments of fig leaves. But then God came along and he truly clothed them. He provided what they really needed with the shedding of blood, you see. But I feared that today that we're too often serving fig leaves instead of relying on the Lord's bounty. He said he'd take. Didn't he say that? Where's our faith? You see, we're told that those that seek all these things, that seek these things, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. But I'm not sure that most believe that. I'm not sure some of us believe that. And the key word here, the key word in this text and in this message is thought. If I counted correctly, it's mentioned 5 times in the 10 or 11 verses of our text. Where our thoughts lie. Because it's spoken of as worry, care, thought. Can we stop thinking? Of course not. It's what we think about that matters. What we think about in this computer mind of this big brain. I don't know, does a human have the biggest brain? I think they do. I think a human being has the biggest brain. I'm trying to think of another animal that might have a brain. A horse got a brain. A big animal has got a brain like a walnut. Okay? So we've got this big thought machine in this cranium, in this head, you see. It's what we think about that counts, our very thoughts. It's the only thing, you might say, even though now they're even trying to claim that they can do that, that's hidden. You don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm looking right at you. Say, well, you might know everything, you might can see it, but you don't know what I'm thinking. You see? Thoughts. We've tried to have the governments today, they're trying to be thought police. But you see, God knows. God knows, we spoke this last week, knows our thoughts. What it is, now listen, that we covet. Our concerns. What it is that concerns us. And we've been concerned ever since our text of Genesis 3. There wasn't much concern before that. You know, we're not going to worry in heaven. What are we going to worry about? God says we're not worried now. There's a place that a Christian can go, enter into this rest. We've preached on that many times from the book of Hebrews. In this life, now, today. I had read, I was listening to a man, and he said, and I'm sure this is so, the old Jews that said that God has everything except one thing, and that was limitation. That's very interesting to me. Isn't our thought, our worry, you know what that is? That's our limitation. That's our limitation. We certainly can't limit God, but in thought, we limit us. In worry, we limit us, what it is that we can do. He says we can do all things through Christ. But we limit us because we get to thinking. It's interesting, the case of Adam. He went from what you might call an infinite existence to a finite existence. Man, that's huge. It's beyond comprehension. He had this infinite existence and he cut it. And death came. And death reigned, you see. And that by choice. He had never tasted finite. But he did. And oh man, what a bitter pill. I'm here to tell you. I hope that all of you know something of it. And we see that bitter pill in death. The finality. I like that word better. The finality. Death. And it comes to every man, you see. The tree of knowledge, it brought thought. The very sight of it provoked thought. There's no doubt about that. And when their eyes were open, you and I, all of us, we all started thinking. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Adam didn't think prior to that, because he did. But his thoughts were right. He had right thoughts, you see. You've heard me say many times, the most dangerous words in the English language, I've been preaching this for 35 years, I think. When somebody says, I think, you better get down. Let me tell you what I think. People always, man, to this day, 35 years later, been preaching that over 35 years. Well, I think, oh, you know, and here it comes. And all I do is quote scripture. Well, I think. Well, what do you got to think about? God said it, that's the end of it, you see. Christ says, give no thought. What are you thinking? As an interesting side note to this, there's a statue, I don't know, maybe you're familiar with it, and it was by a Frenchman, and it came about in the late 1800s, and it's titled The Thinker. Have you ever seen that statue? It's a naked man, yeah, and he's down like this, The Thinker. And I know about it because there was an old black and white television show called Dobie Gillis with Maynard G. Krebs, a beatnik, on it, and Dobie would give this little diatribe either before or after the credits, whenever, and when Dobie Gillis would give this little thought process, he would do it in front of the thinker, the statue of this thinker. So I did a little snooping. This thinker was designed, interestingly enough, over the gates of hell. Isn't that interesting? From Dante's Inferno. And that was the design of the thinker. Whether or not it was designed to be Dante or not, we don't know. But it was the thinker was designed to sit and look down over the gates of hell. I'm still thinking. Giving thought. You see? I love the scripture in Acts. It always comes to my mind. Sometimes when I'm reading and I'm getting into all this stuff and I'm going deeper in the mind and I'm trying to get this knowledge out, and it's kind of like Festus told Paul in 26th chapter of book of Acts, and he appears before these kings and administrators, and after hearing Paul's testimony, Festus says to Paul, he says, "Thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." Man, you know what? I felt that way before. Sometimes it seems like the more I know, the less I know. Because we're opening up this Pandora's box. And that's what happened to Adam in the tree of the knowledge. And he opened this box, and the more he knew, the less he knew. He knew it all. And then he lost it. And you and I lost it. But we can get it back if we'll give no thought. If you've ever truly been converted, you'll know that so well. That the natural man, as it says in 1 Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I said, nor indeed can he, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why we can't even pray like we should, says Romans 8. Can't even pray right. And as is the secret of Matthew 6, or Adam prior to the fall, it is indeed hard to kick against the pricks. So I said, well, how am I going to end this? And this morning, the Lord, the only way, the same way that when Paul, who was Saul then, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and Jesus looked at him, and that thinker, he looked at that thinker, "Much thinking doth make thee mad, and thou art beside thyself," and he looked at him, and he said, much like he did to me 35 years ago, "Is it hard to kick against the pricks as you're standing there bloodied from the thorns? Is it hard to kick against the pricks?" And just like Paul, all I could say was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Because if you do that, you don't have to give thought."